Welcome to the historic Menger Hotel. Constructed in 1859, the hotel is a fixture of downtown San Antonio. It sits right next door to the Alamo, like right next door, and is both a historic partner hotel of the Alamo and a member of the Historic Hotels of America. The original two-story structure was constructed of limestone. Remember that detail, as it may be important later. And over the last 160-odd years has seen numerous renovations and additions. The hotel's interior is furnished with a vast array of art and antiques, many pieces older than the hotel itself. An oil painting in the main lobby, for example, depicting a woman leading a calf by a rope leash, was completed in 1902. A set of empire-style credenzas were manufactured sometime between 1800 and 1930. Four of the most important architects in San Antonio's history contributed to the design and construction of this remarkable building, and every year the hotel draws thousands of visitors from every imaginable walk of life, including, for our purposes, the Hey Strangeness team. Why are we talking about this historical landmark as opposed to aliens, cryptids, or any number of other strange topics? Because in addition to having hosted such guests as Teddy Roosevelt, Mae West, Babe Ruth, and Ulysses S. Grant, the hotel is famously and deeply haunted. According to many sources online, and the very nice lady at the reception desk who helped us check in, the hotel is home to no fewer than 32 individually identified spirits. You're listening to Hey Strangeness. Stay tuned. Hey Strangeness is supported by the Strange Folk, aka our amazing Patreon subscribers. People like Jeremiah of the Bigfoot Society, Drew and Lexi of Final Girl Graphics, Dasos Crosong of Reset Studios, Scott, Alex, Laura, and Rick. Thank you for making everything we do possible. You can head over to patreon.com/heystrangeness to join the Strange Folk, where you'll get access to bonus episodes, archival photos, license-free photos, by the way. You can use them for whatever you want. Shoutouts like this one, and much more. Memberships start at just $1, and if you like what we do here at Hey Strangeness, joining the Strange Folk is a great way to get more of it. That's patreon.com/heystrangeness.
It is May 20th.
Oh my god.
2023.
What is that? What did you try to spell?
And we owe. Oh yeah. Anyway, it is May 20th, 2023, and tonight is our historic investigation of the Menger Hotel. We are professionals and will do a great job. Alright, so we have dropped off the baby at my parents' house. He's going to have a great time with Nana and Papa, and we're loading up our gear and overnight stuff so we can head over to the hotel. And I guess I'll go through the gear when we get there. It's all set up. That probably makes more sense. Are you nervous?
No.
Okay. Me neither.
I'm actually excited to shower and everything there.
Yeah, me too. I bet the bathrooms are nice. Alright, so we have checked into room 2038 at the Menger Hotel. It's one of the most beautiful buildings I've ever been in. Everything is old and classic, and the floorboards creak. It's amazing. If you like it, sir.
I love it. Look, even the card holder comes with a warning because it was built in the... We're in the original 1859 building.
Please... What does it say? Please watch your step. Your room is located in the original 1859 section of the hotel. Step up to enter the bathroom. Step down to exit.
We have to warn you because, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like not built to modern construction codes. We had a lovely conversation with a nice lady named Brooke when we checked in, and she gave us all kinds of really interesting tidbits and where to go, and then she also let us in on some recent developments regarding the ghost activity here, which...
Yeah, because they're digging up the front part of the road. I mean, it wasn't a road, it was like the entry area.
Yeah.
They're digging it up for a garden, and I guess the spirits that were...
We're right next to the Alamo, so they removed these trees that have been there for God knows how many decades, and apparently lately people have been talking about angry ghosts and more fevered activity, so we didn't anticipate that, but what I'm going to do is get all of our equipment laid out and inventory everything, and then we're going to just chill.
Take a second.
I'm taking many seconds. Okay, so we've brought pretty much every investigative piece of equipment at our disposal, for whatever it's worth. We have two infrared motion-activated game cameras. We have two Elite Tech GSP-6G moisture and temperature recorders, which we'll use to hopefully catch any sharp fluctuations in temperature in the room throughout our stay. We have, actually the device I'm talking on right now, an Olympus Notecorder DP10, which is a very cheap but very efficient audio recorder that we'll leave running. We have an iPad and a MacBook that will also be running with their sound recorders in the background. And the thing I'm probably the most excited about, an old school cassette tape deck. The earliest EVPs were obviously recorded on magnetic tapes, so we decided to roll out the analog for this one. I'm very excited about it. That's my phone. Oh, shoot. Okay. So, yes, we're going to use digital, we're going to use temperature monitoring, we're going to use motion-activated cameras, and we're going to use analog. And we're going to set up all of these devices, leave them running in the room, and then go explore the rest of the hotel, with the exception of this recorder, because I need it. Okay, so just want to set the stage here. I've placed the motion-activated cameras at two different places in the room, both facing towards loose objects that have no real particular significance, but are just sitting there. So, hypothetically speaking, if there were a poltergeist, they would have something to move. One is on a tripod, the other is mounted to one of the chairs. I've placed the cassette tape recorder in the far corner next to the bed on the nightstand, and I've placed the temperature data loggers, one in the middle of the bed, the other on a small plastic stool that I actually brought with me directly in the middle of the room, and that's also in front of one of the motion-activated cameras. So in a minute here, I'm going to activate all of these devices. We're going to greet any spirits that might be here. Maybe we should have done that when we arrived, but it just didn't feel like the right moment. And then we're going to head out. We did just now learn that this room is not in any way soundproof. You can very clearly hear people walking and talking in the outside hallway, which is cool. I mean, of course you'd expect that. But there is the potential, of course, for some cross audio, so... Okay, the devices are active, and we are getting ready to leave the room. Hello, my name is Aaron. Konnichiwa, boku no namae wa Aaron desu. Hola, mi nombre Aaron. And I looked it up in German and French, but I'm nervous and I forgot them. We are staying in this room tonight. We understand that we are guests. We understand that this is your space, and we appreciate you sharing it with us. There are a number of devices in this room that you can use to make your presence known if you would like to, and there are a number of devices that you are welcome to draw energy or strength from if you would like to. There are also some small items if you would like to move something, you can do that. What you can't do is follow us off the grounds of this hotel. You cannot draw strength or energy, you cannot attach, cleave, or bind yourself to anyone that enters this room.
It was at this point during our stay, immediately following this fairly standard ghost introduction, that we captured something strange on our digital recorder. Pay attention to the static feedback that kicks in during this next segment.
I think that's the majority of what I had. There is one last little thing.
Random static feedback or evidence of paranormal activity? I'll be honest, I have no idea. The skeptic in me says, of course you got static feedback, you were using a rudimentary recorder in an old building with a lot of other devices running at the same time. The paranormal enthusiast in me takes the opposite position. I'd never picked up any kind of feedback on this recorder in the past, and had been using it in a variety of locations, indoors, outdoors, in a moving vehicle, in an underground parking garage, near cell phones and tablets and computers in unknown combinations for weeks, and this was the first time anything odd seemed to take place. In addition, I found the timing of the static, beginning immediately after the invocation, to be at least worth noting. This wouldn't be our only odd encounter, however. We'd pick up more static a few moments later.
Should any entities, presently or formerly human, have any intent of following us or attaching themselves to us without our consent, please know that we are prepared to prevent that.
A shorter burst occurred here, as you just heard, but it was also timed in an odd way. At least, that's my opinion. Full disclosure, this next part is a little weird. I have a very religious background and actually took 2 years of Latin as a foreign language credit in high school. I think there's a lot of significance in prayers and litanies, and for my own peace of mind, took to reciting the Lord's Prayer in Latin before we left the room. Ghosts kinda scare me, but apologies if this part creeps you out.
Pater noster, qui es in caelum, sanctificetur nomen tuum, ad moneat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra, panem nostram qui defendium da nobis hodie, et dimite nobis debita nostra, sicut et ne nos dimitimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. And with that, we will leave the room.
The static seemed to continue here in the background, spiking slightly at the end of the litany. From here we left the hotel room, but we'd have one final, and slightly unsettling, encounter before the evening's conclusion. We'll get to that shortly.
Pretty much every piece of furniture you sit on, or floorboard you step on, creaks. And even though the occupancy's really high, the hallways are pretty quiet, other than when there's people walking by the room. Yeah. So we're standing in, what is this area called?
I'm honestly not even sure.
It's a really pretty outdoor garden courtyard space. There's a lot of what looks like original stone walls, wrought iron, handrails, fire escapes. I'm not like as eloquent today as I thought I was going to be. I know, I'm taken in by it. Did forget to mention we're also working with a Fujifilm X-T20 digital camera.
Oh, it hasn't been running this whole time.
Okay, so unfortunately the first 2 hours we had access to this room, I did not have the data recorders running for temperature and moisture, but that's okay. Now I know how they work. And soon we're going to be gone for several hours, so they have plenty of time to run.
Rule number one of paranormal investigation, know your equipment. Obviously, waiting until the first time I attempted to actually use them was not the first time I should have activated and reviewed the functionality of the data loggers. Lesson learned.
Okay, that was weird. I had propped up the hairdryer to dry out some pants that didn't finish in the clothes dryer before we left the house earlier, and I had placed Sarah's flat iron behind it to hold it in place, and leaving a hairdryer unattended is a terrible idea. You should never do that, but we're here in this room with it, and I was watching it. It's a 10x10 room with a small attached bathroom. I turned my back, stepped over to the side table to check a piece of equipment. I think my back was turned for maybe 10 seconds. Heard a crashing noise, came back in the bathroom. Both the curling iron and the hairdryer were on the floor. So, entirely possible that that just happened because you shouldn't set down a hairdryer. Also, kind of weird, though.
It would be grossly irresponsible of me to suggest that the objects which fell, or were pushed, off of the bathroom counter couldn't have done so through normal means. If the hairdryer weren't as securely placed as I thought, the vibration of the motor combined with the force of the fan may very well have tipped the scales. What I can account for is the distance that the objects traveled, which was further than it should have been, and not a direct, off-the-counter-and-straight-down trajectory. I also can't account for the fact that I'd stood and observed the dryer in place for several minutes while completing other minor tasks, and it hadn't moved an inch. Ambiguity aside, this instance left me feeling more than a bit unsettled. We left the room after this and moved on to the rest of our plans for the evening, but not before we were both struck by a distinct feeling in the stairway leading up to our floor.
Up, we're getting ready to check out. It was a fairly uneventful night.
Yeah.
Spooky wise.
Yeah.
I lost my voice at the concert. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. We did have that one weird thing with the hairdryer, but
Other than that, yeah, nothing in the room at least. Like I said, I felt a little bit of heaviness in the staircase coming upstairs from the first floor to the second floor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we didn't even go to the third floor, to be honest with you, and they said that was the most haunted area, was the third floor.
They did say that. So we'll be back.
Yep.
We'll be back soon. But
absolutely.
If anyone's in here, thank you for letting us stay the night in your room. And we'll be back.
We'll be back.
A couple of weeks later, Sarah and I sat down to recap our experience.
I feel like it was an investigation myself. I didn't, like, go in there with the intent to investigate. I was celebrating my birthday, and...
Well, and you even said, because if you listen to the field audio that I'll put in this episode, like,
yeah.
I even ask you, are you nervous? Do you expect to find anything? And you say no.
Yeah.
You know, you're not thinking that we're going to see anything. Which I also felt that way. So kind of going back to that, how did you feel first walking into the hotel?
Excited. You know, I like historical buildings.
Yes.
And, I had always heard about the hotel, grew up hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the, that it was a haunted hotel downtown. And, I was very excited that, you know, I finally was getting to spend the night in it.
And it was beautiful.
It was very beautiful.
And all the furniture was, like, old and original. Like,
it seemed like. I don't really know, but yeah, some of the benches that we sat on were creaky.
Everything was creaky, yeah.
Yeah, in the old part.
Yeah. You'll note that.
The building.
There's actually, I'll cut this little part, but there's some of the field audio I have says every time you step or sit down on something, it creaks.
Yeah.
So that'll be a cool cut when you say that to that. Do you remember anything that stuck out? You kind of already talked about that, but any particular features?
Did
or...
I?
Yeah, well, you talked about how pretty it was. And
oh,
was
I mean,
there,
I don't know. The architecture was very beautiful.
Yeah.
Comfortable little rooms to spend the night in.
It was really comfortable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the bathroom was beautiful.
Yeah.
I like a nice, you know, clean white bathroom.
It was interesting that they had a safety warning in the hotel room because
of the step.
It was step up to go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And the bathroom is where we had one kind of weird thing happen. But
yeah, the hair straightener. And the blow dryer.
And the dryer, yeah. What's your take on that, you know, however many weeks later?
I don't really think I have one. I don't know. I don't think, I didn't really think anything of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what you're looking for.
No, I'm not looking for anything.
Really
I'm really
a
having
take.
A hard time with it because,
no,
like...
No, I don't really have a take. I don't think it was a ghost, but...
Okay.
There was no, any strange feeling, any, you know how sometimes you experience something or hear something that there's no explanation for in your brain?
No context.
And no context, and you kind of get, well, no, like I told you, remember that one time when I was at, no, I'm good, when I was at the boys' home downtown that's next to the juvenile center? And,
yep.
When we heard that whistling, like, my arm hairs went up, I felt, you know, prickles behind my ear, like, just, you know, your senses because of that energy change, I think, is what I believe. I feel that I would feel something.
I agree with you.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, and I feel like I would have at least been a, like, moment of stillness, you know what I mean? Awareness,
yeah.
No, there was nothing.
I agree with you, because I've been in situations where I felt I was experiencing the influence of spiritual energies.
Exactly.
And
you
want to that
you want to believe that if it were to happen again, you would be a little bit more prepared of how of your senses.
Yeah.
So,
and we actually went into this situation prepared to kind of defend ourselves if there was something there.
We were. I
did based on my
yeah
things that I've seen. And it's actually like I played you the audio with the odd interference,
yes.
The strange noises.
Yeah.
So again, after having some time to reflect on that, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm always going to go towards it being something from the outside of the room, only because we heard it ourselves. The walls were really thin, so you could hear people in the hallway, people in the room next to you, and people from down below, because we were on the second floor.
But people walking through wouldn't necessarily cause static feedback on
voice recorder.
But it could have, I'm just saying it could have been anything. Maybe they had something in their rooms.
True. Maybe they had their own EM meters or their own recorders. Exactly, their own
equipment, their own, you know, whatnot.
And if you've ever gotten a text message while your phone was sitting next to a computer speaker, you're well aware that,
vibrate. Or,
And by that same token, all electronic devices give off electromagnetic waves. It's just a matter of how, you know, strong they were and or strong they are. And we didn't have an EM meter with us, but we did have a lot of electronic devices running. We had the temp meters, we had the game cameras, we had the laptop, the iPad, the cassette recorder, the voice recorder. I think that was it, right?
I think so, yeah.
Plus just our phones, which are constantly receiving data. So we did have a lot of devices running all at once.
Yeah.
What's weird about this to me, and the reason that I kind of stopped, and I actually sent the raw audio.
You did tell me that.
To three other groups in the paranormal community that have a history of working with paranormal evidence. I won't name them because I didn't ask them if I could do that, but we'll see. Maybe they'll get back to me before this airs. What's odd to me is that the interference and what sounds to me like voices coming from somewhere show up at very specific times. There's, when we're entering the room, doing an initial reading, when I recited the Lord's Prayer in Latin, at odd specific times, not just randomly when I was like poking around. And there's a lot of dead audio in there where I'm just like arranging things and you're watching stuff on your phone. Because this was leading up to the finale of Vanderpump Rules, so we were watching a lot of VPR content, and you can hear that stuff. If you look at the waveform, actually got as scientific with this as I could. If you look at the waveform when you play that back, the voices coming from your phone play in at kind of a certain level, and then these weird voices that I'll cut in here play at a different level. So that's what I was able to find. The temperature and moisture meters didn't really pick anything up. They both increase in temperature as the night goes on. It got hotter in the room, which makes sense, I guess. Even though we left the AC running the entire time, and with the sun going down, it theoretically should have been cooler. But it actually got warmer in the room after we left, according to the moisture graphs.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of cool. So all in all, there's no conclusion to be drawn here, but for me, this was a really fun experience. This was a cool thing to do.
It was so cool. It's such a cool hometown.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I do want to go back. We have some friends who are more experienced at investigating this stuff than we are that already have approval to do an investigation, so we're hoping to tag along with them. Again, I don't know if it's okay to talk about that.
An investigation, though, is because we didn't really, like... I mean, we only walked around the grounds during the day. We didn't get to walk around at night.
We didn't. And we never went out to the Alamo grounds where they're doing the construction and played with the equipment.
By the time we got home, we were so toasted that we just wanted food and sleep.
Yeah,
so.
We were very tired. We got these delicious Mexican hot dogs that I spent way too much money on, but they were delicious.
They were good.
They were very good. I have no regrets. All in all, it was a great experience. I hope to go back very soon. Thank you to everybody at the Manger for just like giving us a great experience, but of course to Brooke at the front desk, who gave us some extra info on the ghost activity and was super cool and took some of our stickers. She'll probably never hear this, but thank you anyway. That's all I got on this one. Whether or not we actually experience any paranormal phenomena inside the walls of the Manger is probably a moot point. If one believes in hauntings, then the hotel undoubtedly fits the bill, validated by the overwhelming amount of anecdotal and photographic evidence which is currently available. Even major news outlets in San Antonio have covered the hotel's spectral happenings, and the goal of our visit was not to prove or disprove anything. What we wanted was to experience a night in one of San Antonio's most historic locations, and that's exactly what we did. As to the nature of the strange evidence that we did record, that is left to the interpretation of you, the listener. Thank you for tuning in to Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Sarah.
You can find out more about what we're doing at Instagram.com/Hey_Strangeness and also HeyStrangeness.com. And by the time this airs, the Dogman Triangle Werewolves in the Lone Star State will be available for watching. So
on Prime.
On Amazon Prime, yes. Prime. Daddy's on Amazon.
Oh my God.
I can't help it. All of my conversations are with an 8-month-old. And I refer to myself as Daddy because that's what I want him to call me. So when I talk to regular people, I can't shut up.